So this was an email recently sent. Mike, Sandy and I, this is Mike writing to Cheryl. Sandy and I thank the Lord for Betty and Willard also. When Ray got around to doing to me what he had already done to Willard, Betty and Willard stood by us when 90% of those on our mailing list agree with Ray that God's elect do not fulfill the seven last plagues of the wrath of God. In spite of what the scriptures tell us, and in spite of me pointing to these verses at that time, and I remember this so well, Revelation 15, verses 7 and 8, and one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who lived forever and ever. And the temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. And Revelation 15, verses 7 and 8, and one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God. Well, it's the same thing. Those were very hard times, just as our last apostasy after years of agreeing that we all had to read here and keep the things written therein. There was a sudden change of doctrine, and those who fell away accused the few who remained faithful of leaving the original doctrine. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And that was, of course, what was centered around that. The truth was the exact opposite, but the vast majority of those coming to Ray's side agreed with him and put those who held to the truth out of the church, just as they did in the days of the apostles. But the Lord knows all those who are his sheep, and his sheep know his voice, his words, his truth. And as his sheep, we flee from the voice of a stranger. 3 John verses 1, 9, and 10. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he does, writing against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither does he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and cast them out of the church. Nothing new under the sun. John 10, verses 4 and 5. And when he puts forth his sheep, his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the strangers. They know not the voice of strangers. Betty and Willard proved to be of the Lord's 7,000 who would not bow the knee to bow, and they remained faithful to the Lord's voice through that time of great trial. That meant more to Sandy and to me at that time than they realized, and Willard remained faithful to the end, as I pray we all will. You and a few others have also weathered some very bad spiritual storms over the years, and the Lord has always brought us through those storms and to himself, to our rest, and unto our desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in the ships, they that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy winds, which lift up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens, they go down to the depths, their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He makes a storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he brings them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Sandy and I continue with all of you to seek to enter into his rest and to sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving for all the Lord is doing in and through his body. Your brother in the Christ, Mike.
This is something that you'll learn a little bit more about in a few minutes. But the first little note is from a guy named Coy and Mary Lou. Love you guys. Hope all is well with you. Lord. And then have something happen to our brother that happened where he loses his brother. And all of you, at one time or another, has lost loved ones. I did. My youngest son's birthday was Tuesday. He would have been 40 years old. Died 33 years ago. Jeff Fowler's brother, right after the conference in Salisbury, 40-something years old, dropped dead of a heart attack. Rosemarie, a great friend of ours in Fairhope, Alabama, lost her youngest child 10, 12 years ago. What does it matter? And I'm going to say something. Look in your child's room that's still living, or your wife, or any of your relatives. Look in their room. Turn the light off and close the door. Never open that door or turn that light on again because that person's gone. Now, you don't grieve over loved ones as though there's no hope. And the word hope is expectation. I know and expect to see my son one of these days, and I have comfort in that, a great deal of comfort. But I don't want to ever forget that person. So let's be sensitive to those who've lost loved ones and be sensitive in all manners. And today I'm going to show you how you should deal with each other in the body of Christ. You're going to go away from here with a new point of view before the day's over. The scriptures in Malachi said, then they that feared, and that's reverence the Lord, you have a respect for him, spoke often one with another, and the Lord hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for those that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. Now, this old buddy of mine in Georgia, he and I started sharing this scripture a long time ago, and it's been a joy, and we talk often one with another, and I talk often one with another, a lot of you, and I hope after this conference it'll be a lot more, and I'll show you how you do that and how we should be doing it, how we should be upbuilding, uplifting the body of Christ. We need help. Our brothers need help. I saw one of you last night that I hugged, and your tears ran down your eyes, and you said, I'm a lonesome person. It is sometimes a lonesome walk within the body of Jesus Christ. The elect can sometimes be a lonesome walk because no one wants to hear what you got to say. They really don't. But yes, there is someone that wants to hear what you have to say. And I'm going to show you how to share that with each other and how not to be lonely anymore. You ask my wife, and that woman will tell on anything I do wrong. I kid you not. Don't do something wrong. She'll tell on you. Mike, you wouldn't believe what Willard did. So she will tell you that I'm a happy person. We have a great life, a happy life. And I thought that was something that you just dreamed of, that it wasn't realistic. You can't do that. You can't overcome the lust of the flesh that all flesh has, all men especially. I didn't think that was possible. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. How do you do it? You look at each person you see as Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ. Oh, you want to have sex with Jesus Christ? You don't? No, you don't. You want to love him. Look at every person because that's Jesus Christ. Christ in you. Christ is going to make that person what he is. As he is, so are you. I want to mention some names, and let me zip through my notes so I don't miss something. I hear and see small groups that are speaking with each other very often. My little group, I have been encouraging them that they email each other often. And at first I said, please email me. And one day the bell light came on. Email me? No. Email each other. And I'm privy to intercept some of your emails. I go on my sister-in-law's computer and saw some of hers and that she was sending to some in our group, and boy, was that uplifting. So that's a method in which we are going to communicate with each other. After this conference, we're going to begin doing that. I'm going to know how you feel. And believe me, if I meet you and talk to you and you send me an email, it is just as if I was talking to you in person. I feel your hurt. I feel your sorrow. I feel your joy. I feel your peace because you put it in that. And I can read. I know what you're thinking. I know how you're thinking. But how do I? It's called the Spirit of God. And I know Jesus Christ. I know God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. What is eternal life? John 17:3. To know God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. That's what eternal life is, if you didn't know. Greg, Paige, Pound, and all your children, Chad, Bradley, Dylan, Garrett, Emily, you're my joy. I miss you. I wish you were here. You wanted to come and couldn't. A lot of you out there wanted to come and you couldn't. You wanted to, but it wasn't possible. A lot of you, I put names down and looked up and last night, and there you were. I said, you were in my notes to say hi to, and I'm going to say hi to a few. Dan, you messed up my notes. You showed up, you and your wife, and I had you going missing you down in St. Augustine, Florida, and looked up, and there you are. Now, little Dylan here, let me find that note from little Dylan. Man alive, I get up the morning, I'm coming, and go turn my computer on. Hey, Mr. Willard, I'll miss you this week, Ken. I hope you have fun on your trip and be safe. Now, this is from a 12 or 13-year-old. Well, God is going to be with you, so you'll be fine. Well, love you. Gotta go. Bye, your boy, Dylan Pound. Listen, folks, this group walks in our house each week. This lovely young couple with five children, and come in and walk around and hug us. And the joy that they bring is unbelievable. They go over to my brother-in-law, who's had a massive stroke, and hugs him up. We love you, Mr. Bobby. I know it makes his day. Certainly makes mine. And then in walks this tall, red-headed lady named Donna Carlisle. It's always such a joy for her to be there. And Donna drives some 50 miles to be in our Bible study there every week. She's not sick. She missed a couple of times when she's sick. So Donna, wish you were here. Donna's not here because she gave the money that she had to a son that got himself off in a foreign country and was about to end up in prison if he didn't get away home. She took her money and gave it to him and brought him back to the United States. We found him a job, and then he didn't pay her but maybe $50 back. Got a good job, could have paid her, wouldn't do it. So Donna didn't get to come, but she's not here because she did what she thought was right. Now that person, her son that did it wrong, he won't get by with it, trust me. Jim Ramsey out there, that Jim, we're thinking about you, and Jim, look forward to seeing you again. And we want you to know we're thinking about you. This is the body of Jesus Christ we're talking about. And we want them to know we're thinking about them. Bill and Rosemarie Wally, that lives in Fairhope, Alabama. Now, I'll do a Bible research. We've got some brilliant ladies in our church. And I'll send it to Rosemarie, and she'll send it back for some more scriptures. She's just, it's a great help to me, and I absolutely love Rosemarie, and she's got circumstance she can't meet with all our Bible studies. And that's another story I'm not going to tell you. And there's Chuck and Evelyn Lullins, an old deputy sheriff, staunch Catholic, that began to ask me some questions, and I answered, and they end up at our Bible study. So hi, Chuck and Evelyn, if you hear this. My son, Dwayne, who attends occasionally, a great guy that, oh, I love that boy. So, and I got a son named Tony that just now is beginning to see me walking the walk instead of talking the talk that I'm not walking. So learn, don't be preaching to people if you're not living it. And your children, you won't fool the little ones. I promise you, you can say whatever you want. You can't fool a child. He reads what you walking and knows what you talking to be true for a lie. And most time you out-talk your walk. So finally, by the grace of God, I am walking the walk, and my younger son is beginning to show love and respect for me. Now, I'm a sentimental old, maybe you say fool, but not a fool, but I'm a sentimental old guy, and it's hard for me not to break down with tears sometimes. But I wanted a GPS, and don't y'all start laughing at my GPS again. That's another story. But I told my youngest son we were going to be gone, and this was a sail on. He went and got me this GPS. I didn't get a bill from it. That made my day. A love from him. Parents desire above all things that their children love and respect them. Our Father desires that you love and respect Him. And if you don't love and respect each other, how can you love and respect a Father whom you've not seen? Your love and respect begins with each other. And boy, I'm telling you, this weekend with you people, and I hadn't got to meet maybe one or two of you yet, but the love and respect I've seen here is second to none that I've ever attended. I knew last night when I got here, I said, this is going to be a great conference. Now, we've got this lady, Donna Valverde, out of Houston, Texas. We consider her part of our little flock, of the little flock that meets in our home. But she's here in Houston. I don't know why she didn't make it. She was booked to come here, but she didn't. But Donna, shame on you. I'll talk to you later, girl. Bob and Fanny from Pascagoula, Mississippi is with me. My sister-in-law, of all things, they've known me for 50-something years. I have exposed that woman to every heresy in the world. I have told her everything for so many years. And so finally, I started with this last thing. And after a few months of haggling, that's a long, wonderful story, she said, Willard, you said in 1974 you were going to find the kingdom of God. She said, you found it. You found it. And for a person that has been around you for 50-something years to see Jesus Christ and you not see this carnal, horrible man, but to see Jesus Christ, whew, and come along, oh, my heavens, when she walks in my house for the Bible studies, I want to scream and holler, glory. Thank God Almighty, my Father, for Fanny and Bobby. Bobby's known me for the same length of time. I moved down on their street in 1955 and have known them since and ended up marrying a girl across the track. I was about on the other side of the track, literally. The track crossed the road and then went down and turned and went down the middle of the street. So Bobby was across the track from Fanny. And I was across the track from both of them. Bobby ended up marrying Fanny, and I ended up marrying Betty, who wouldn't speak for me for years. So thank the Lord that he granted me Betty. On my third date with her, I said, I'm going to make this woman fall in love with her, for this is going to be my wife. Now, 47 years later, she's my wife, and I love her. Now, you guys, it has wives, and you don't love and respect them like you should, that's the easy solution. I do it all the time. If I catch myself disrespecting my bride, I say, Lord, I'm disrespecting you, and I'm so sorry. Give me love and respect for the wife of my youth. Let me love and respect her. Boy, you can have peace and joy. You can have happiness. Believe me, there's no reason to ever be unhappy. Sure, there's trials, but you rejoice in them. I finally learned to do that. I rejoice in them. And there I go again. This must have been why y'all put this up here. You knew the old man would be up here and do this. But that's all right. That's all right. I don't want to miss anybody. Tim and Florine, and Lord have mercy, they showed up. I wish I'd have put all of them name in here. Maybe we'd had them all here. From way up in Pennsylvania, I didn't have a clue you'd be here. And my heart was thinking about you, and I wanted to see you, and looked up, and there you are, you old bush-headed rascal. All in Pennsylvania. Now, these two people came to one of our first conferences, and I told them, and I repeat this in our Bible study every time, and Mike, you stole my thunder, and you used it too. This will be a life-changing experience for you. I believe every Bible study every week is going to be a life-changing experience. I believe that. Jesus Christ didn't drag you here but not to change your lives. And it will change your lives. Bob and Kim Francis from Pennsylvania, you were at one of our first conferences, two of the people I love so dearly. I miss you and wish you were here. I hope you hear this tape. Pat and Jolita, I hope I pronounced that right. I think in Colorado now. Lost his job a while back, and boy, my heart bled for him. And I emailed it around to everybody. I emailed, please pray for Pat. Shortly thereafter, he sent me back. He had him a job, but he had moved there and had him a new home, new car, and everything looking good, and lost his job. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. So he got his attention, then gave him a good job. Ted, thank the Lord. We love you. Jeff and Sherry and the family from North Carolina met them that they hosted the conference there. And I saw a change in their life before the conference was over. And I call her my dumb blonde. And oh boy, do I pick on her with email. And we have a great time. And I was out of ink and didn't print out. I print out what you write me. That's what you're, this is my book of remembrance. The Lord has one. This is mine. And she wrote me a note, and I was out of ink, and I accidentally deleted her email. Like there's an accident. But that note was simple. What did it say? Willard, you're a mess. I love you. Hey, you don't have to send a long email. Just a short email. What did Coy Brock do? Just a short note. Miss you guys. Love you. The guy in Michigan that hosted the conference, Ray Miller. Ray, we wish you was here. Thank you that you hosted our conference there. Ray's a great guy. Love you, Ray. Love you, Ray. Jock Blaze. Did I say that right? Blaze Jock. The old guy up in the Carolinas and just a blessing. Been here all along. Dan and the Romaine family, and there you are, you showed up. But I want you to know we were thinking about you. Now we really think about you since you're here. Ron and Jane and Celeste in California. Wiley and Joan Roderick in Portland, Oregon. And of all things, we had a brother here from Portland, Oregon. Where are you? Don't even see you. Right there. Going to get you together. Going to get you together with them. Ray Smith's ex-mother-in-law. Curtis and Jesse Bennett, my nephew in Blanchetown, Florida. Went there to spend the weekend hunting with them, and we spent the whole weekend with her and her grandparents for hours and hours and hours going through the scriptures for 3 days. And now I downloaded like 20-something Bibles and several concordance on her computer and showed her how to use it. And she is reading and studying regularly. So hopefully, if it's the Lord's will, they'll come along. For I love you, man. Jason Martin. I don't have a clue where Jason lives, but we're talking on every day. Jason Martin. Where is Jason? Knoxville, Tennessee. Great guy. Bless you, Jason, my brother. Randy and Gina Jones from Georgia. Met them in Salisbury. Great people. We miss you and love you. Roy and Annel Monk, the old patriot. Sure, Roy and Annel, the old patriot. Listen, if you ever get discouraged, I lie not. You ever get discouraged and lonely, call Roy. Just the sound of his voice will soothe your sorrows and problems. Roy, love you. Thank the Lord for you, the old patriot. You are our patriot. We love you. There are many more out there that we love and miss and wish you were here. Many of you have gone to the other side of the track, and maybe you see them. We're on the wrong side of the track. The Lord knows. We love you and miss you. One of the big old guys I've known for, I'm going to say his name, Ray Smith. I knew him as Larry Smith. And Larry, you'll see this. I know you're watching, and I love you, brother. I made the mistake one time telling him I didn't like him, that I loved him. That's a paradox in itself. You don't tell somebody you don't like them and you love them in the same sentence. That's like constructive criticism. It doesn't exist. Ray Smith has been in my home many times, and he liked his coffee with a little honey and cream in it. And I'd serve his coffee because I love you, brother. And the Lord will sort things out one day, and we had better be loving each other. We had better be loving each other and treating each other with all the love and respect in the world. Not only he left us, but a lot of other good friends that we've been friends with for 40-something years that we have nothing to do with us anymore, because my mind is they didn't know the voice of the true shepherd. I know the voice of Jesus Christ. I know God, and I know Jesus Christ whom he sent, and I know the voice of the true shepherd. And I am following that voice. I am following that voice. I follow Jesus Christ. I want to show you the body of Christ, what we're here for, what our job is, what we are to be doing What is your job? What is your job? What should you be doing? Before you leave here today, you're going to know what you should be doing. One of the things is that you're to comfort, Acts 20 and verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and unto all the flock over the Holy Spirit. To all the flock over the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Made you. Don't say Willard. Don't say Mike. You. You. Your job is to feed the church of God. Your job is to feed it. Which he has purchased with his own blood. This looked like quite a job to me. Colossians 2:2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Being knit together in the love of Jesus Christ. Unto all riches and full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery. The secret. That's what you're discovering today, the secrets of God that's been hid throughout the ages. But now it's being revealed to a small elect. Of God the Father and of Christ, the secrets of God the Father and Christ. His Christ. You are Christ. You are His Christ. I got the scripture later, I hope. If I don't, I'll back up and explain it. 1 Corinthians 12:25, that there should be no schisms or divisions in the body, that the members should have the same care one for another. So what does it say? We're to be caring one for another. Thank the Lord, He has given me a lot of love for you all, and I see a lot of love being given back. One of the brothers last night, I hugged him up, kissed him and on the cheek or on the neck. And I don't know if anybody had ever done that to him before. Now, that's what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, greet your brother with a holy kiss. I've tried everywhere in the world to see if it meant something else. I can't find that it means anything else. Now, it's a custom in some nations. But I, before you leave, hug your brother up and kiss him on the neck. Don't do like Austin and I. We were going to kiss each other one time, and I reached to kiss him on the neck, and he reached to kiss me on the neck, and we kissed each other right in the mouth. I couldn't resist. I called him Sweet Lips after that. But that little fella has a lot of love, and Austin, you've spoken of often among our group. Why can't you be like Austin? No, not really. But they speak of your love. And thank you. Don't you get hit in high-minded now. 1 Corinthians 12:26. And whether one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or one member honored, all members rejoice with it. Now listen, do you think Coy Brock's not suffering now? We should suffer with him. Understand it. Call him or write him. Send him an email. Get his email address before we leave this conference. And you email Coy. It won't hurt you to email Jeff Fowler. His brother hadn't been dead a year. And a brother that's a little over 40 years old. My son's been dead 33 years. And I can't talk to you about it today without breaking down and crying. I don't want to ever lose that. I don't ever want to lose that. I wanted to keep him fresh in my memory. He's one of the greatest little guys I ever met in my life. We kept the Feast of Tabernacles, the Worldwide Church of God. We were in Brunswick, Georgia, attending a festival on Jekyll Island, and headed over the Brunswick Bridge, and it's a full moon when you're there for the conferences, the new moons. And I looked out the window, and I said, you know, it's always a new moon when we come out here. He looked out the window, kind of funny, and he said, Daddy, what happened to the old moon? So that was cute. So if one member suffers, we all suffer. If one member is honored, we're all honored together with that member. We're all one body. Now, you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. To get to section of allotment, we all get the same allotment. That's what he's talking about. Together, you are the body of Christ. Each of you is part of the body. I hear some of you that don't feel that you are part of the body. You hold back your comments because you don't feel quite a part. Yes, you are. You as much of a part as anyone. Don't ever think that. Realize you're standing in Jesus Christ. Christ is proud of you. I like Concordance version where it talks about that we are Christ's complement. He's glad to have you hanging on his arm like a guy with a pretty girl prancing down the street. Jesus Christ loves you. He loves you. So love each other. How can you help each other? Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. Look, your job is to... We were at the conference, and I've got these ladies' names here. In Salisbury, I see it sticking out here someplace. And this lady was a member of the Worldwide Church of God and had come out, and she said, they judge me. I said, you mean they condemned you? She said, yeah. I said, well, I'm going to judge you. And I said, I do judge you. She was smoking. I said, you got to quit it. You're not going to be in the kingdom of God if you're smoking. No more than I'm going to be in the kingdom of God if I'm whoring around. It's one of the things you have to overcome, and you will. You eventually do it, either now or in the great white throne judgment. But, you know, the thing that amazed me with her, she had a sister, and I'm not going to call these names. I don't want to embarrass them. She had a sister smoking. She said, Willard, will you pray my sister quit smoking too? And I said, yeah, sure will. So later on, she went outside. She had two cigarettes smoked. She went out there to smoke them and came back and handed them to me and said, Willard, I want to give you this. I quit. I hope she still quit. But, brethren, you can't do that and inherit the kingdom of God. The peace and joy and righteousness is now, right now. And you want that peace and joy and righteousness now. If you're sinning and sin's having dominion over you, and I'm just picking on smoking as one thing, it could be anything. Look, don't think if you still smoke, I'm picking on you. If you're still cheating and lying and doing your wife wrong, that applies to you too. You can't do those things. And you can't change it on your own. You have to ask Jesus Christ to help you change it. And Jesus Christ will help you change any problem you got whatsoever. It is through him and by him. And it's not anything you can do, for the human flesh doesn't want to do good. Jesus Christ gives you both the will and the way. Bear one another's burdens. Now, what does that mean? It's a weight. Jeff is under a weight now. Coy's under a weight. And there's some of you in here. I could call your names and look at you now, and I once under a weight. But I don't know how many of you are, but I looked at the tears in one's eye last night in the hurt and sorrow, and it's a brother that needs you to show him some love. And I hope you spy out that brother and show him so much love when he goes back that he'll have peace and joy in his heart that carries him through, and you will. We're going to make sure of that. We're really going to make sure of that. And you fulfill the law of Christ if you bear one another's burden. And I wrote the scriptures down, Matthew 19, 22:39, Mark 12:31. Love all as yourself. The royal law of Jesus Christ is fulfilled. James 5:2-8 says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and you do well. So God's law, his law is love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. That's a hard job. It's a hard job. But you can do it. But you can only do it with asking Jesus Christ to help you do it. And you're a loving bunch. You're a loving bunch. And I thank the Lord for you. Now, Galatians 6:5 said, for every man shall bear his own burden. Sounds like a contradiction. Two different Greek words. And I didn't put the Greek words down here. You can go look them up. It's every man shall bear his task of service. Different. The other's a weight. You to help that brother carry his weight. But we're to bear our task of service. Our burden, our task of service. You to do that. Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. Keep that in your mind at all times. Be loving each other continually, unconditionally. I've had a lot of fair weather friends that I had one person that wrote me so many times how I love you, and at the first little bump in the road, dumped me like a bad dream. And I can pick on my people, but they won't hear this. My brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews, they will tell each other 50 times a day they love each other. I told one of my nieces, I said, don't tell me that. Show me. And then once in a while, tell me. But I lie not. They will tell you they love you 100 times. Cross them one time. They will kill you. I mean, don't you dare go there. You no good low life. I'll blow your brains out. I lie not. Hebrews 13:2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. You never know who you entertain, and so treat all as though they are Jesus Christ. See everyone as Jesus Christ. I heard this brother say that, and I drive down the road in a car doing 60 miles an hour, and I smile at him. Hey, who knows? Record that look in your brain, you're going to see them. Maybe in this life. If not, you will see them in the great white throne judgment. They say, you're that crazy fool I'm driving down the road. You're doing this. Yes, I was, and I love you. The Lord has a lot of love, and all you got to do is just go get you a dipper and start dipping out of the rivers of living waters. We had a funny thing going a few months back. My sister-in-law, who I love with a passion, I'm embarrassed, and I said over and over again, she amazed me. She came in and wanted to know, said, Willard, said, you print out all these copies to everybody every week, and the blinder I get, the bigger they get. If you see my notes, next thing you know, the letters, it's going to take a whole ink cartridge for one letter. But they get bigger and bigger. She said, don't you print out a lot of stuff? Don't that cost you a lot of money? Listen, that cartridge, when she asked me, it had been saying it was out for a week or two. I think it was a month that I printed all these copies out of that. It became the joke of the ink of living water, the living ink, the cartridges of living ink. So we printed out a lot of things for that cartridge. But you know what was funny? That when it ran out, I happened to look up in the far space of my study area, and there was another brand new cartridge. I don't know where it came from. You put that there. But there was a new one there, and it went on and on. Hebrews 13:3, remember them that are in bonds, figuratively in implements or disability, shackled or a prisoner, as bound with them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. So when a member suffers, you should feel that pain. You should feel that suffering. You should bear their loads with them. Colossians 1:24, who now rejoicing in my suffering for you and filled up, which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. One member suffers, all suffers with it. When someone has a problem, don't quote. Listen, brother, I've had this quoted to me. This scripture is powerful. Ephesians 1:11 confirms the sovereignty of God. If you understand that, you know that everything's being done according to what he chose. But when a person's in deep problems and you call him and talk to him and you tell him, say, oh, it's all after the counsel of God's will. He don't want to hear that when he's up to his eyebrows in alligators and trying to drain the swamp. He wants you to throw him a rope. He don't want you to throw him a big rock to pull him deeper down, and that's what it sounds like. You quoting God's word that's hurting that brother. He don't want to hear that. Tell him something to help bear that burden. Don't tell him, oh, you suffering, you low life dog, because you sin. And it's all after the counsel of the Lord's will, which it is. But it's also after the counsel of the Lord's will that you begin to learn how to help that brother when he's having these weights. Remember that, the weight. John 15:13, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his brother. Now, we've always heard, this guy, there was a speeding automobile, and he jumped in front of it and shoved this person out of the way, saved that person's life, and killed himself. That's not what he's talking about. when you lay, hey, what good was that? Good for that person, tragic for you. But it's talking about laying your time down. That's your life, is your time. When you give time to a brother that's in need, I know a lot of you that I could call at any time of the night and say, hey, I need you to come to Mobile. I need some help. And you'd be there. Wouldn't even ask me what you need. What's the problem? You'd just be there. A good shepherd gives his life for his sheep, his time, a good shepherd. And you are the shepherds of the flock of the church of God. We're all the shepherds. And we're to be shepherding each other. We're to be feeding this flock. How do you lay your life down for each other? Do you figure out a way to die for them? No, Jesus Christ already did that. He's taking care of that part. You give your time to them, and that is laying down your life for them. Your time. John 10:1. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. For every one shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherein will it season it? Have salt in yourself and have peace one with another. Boy, you don't ever want to have an altercation or a problem with a brother. And I've been there. I've seen it happen. And the hurt is great. I've seen brothers hurt each other. The Lord said, that should not be so, should never be so. Leviticus 2:13, and every oblation of meat offering shall be seasoned with salt. Neither shall thou suffer the salt of the covenant of, wait, let me back up. It sounded like I read that wrong. Every oblation of your meat offering shall thou season with salt. Neither shall you suffer the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from the meat offering. With all your offering, you shall offer with salt. That's Leviticus 2:13. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt. Not every, but every animal offering was to be accomplished by salt. It was one of the symbols which never absent from the altar and the burnt offering, showing the imperishableness of the love of Yahweh, Elohim, our God, of his people, the inalterable nature. It is contrary of leaven or yeast. The Arabs said it retained the common use of the expression, a covenant of salt, and the respect they pay to bread and salt in their rites and hospitality is well known. So he said, have salt in yourself. See to it that you retain in yourself that precious quality that will make you a blessing to another, to all those around you. And he also says in Timothy to be thoughtful to your leaders. There's some among you that step forward. I never wanted to teach. Didn't want to, was told I was incapable of doing so, and I agreed. But then it came to the place where it's either teach or not do it, so I am doing it by the grace of God. I'm incapable of doing it, Jesus Christ doing it. So I beseech you, brethren, to know those which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. In horrible translation, King James had that added, so he could laud over you and admonish you. My dear friends, CEV said, my dear friends, we ask that you be thoughtful of your leaders who work hard to tell you how to live for the Lord. That's what I'm telling you today, how to live for the Lord. But we beg you, Darby, brethren, to know those who labor among you and take lead among you and admonish you. I was amazed this year that in talking with some of our group about the thing with Christmas, I was absolutely amazed that some in our group told Jesus Christ to take a back seat to after Christmas. We'll get back with you after the holidays, literally. We're going to bake bread and we're going to do a feast on during this Christmas season. It's a tradition of our families, and we're going to do that. Jesus Christ, you'll have to wait. Now, I'm going to read you some scriptures. One of you talked about this last night, and I said I would give you the scripture that answer this question, so there's no doubt. Then you can do what you want to. I told this person if they wouldn't be mad at me because if I didn't keep Christmas, that I wouldn't be mad at them if they did keep Christmas. So if that's where you are, so be it. But I'm going to warn you. I'm going to give you God's word. And then you can tell God to wait till you do your thing, and we'll deal with you in the white throne judgment. I say, I hope I'm there. Y'all may be dealing with me. Lord, I pray not. Deuteronomy 12:28, observe and hear all the words which I command you, not Willard, what the Lord your God commands you, that you may go well with you and with your children after you forever. When you go, when thou dost that which is, I missed a sentence there. Let me back up and start again. Observe and hear the words which I command you, that you may go, that it may go well with you and with your children after you forever, olam, for the age. When thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God, and I'm telling you to do what's good and right in the sight of the Lord your God in dealing with each other, but you got to deal with your father too. He doesn't take a back seat to no one. He doesn't sit in the corner and wait till you get through doing your thing with Christmas, Halloween, Easter, or even his own holy days. And he said, I'm afraid of you that observe in times and seasons. You observe in the symbols. You're not observing what's really there. Jesus Christ is your holy days. Jesus Christ is your Sabbath. He is your rest, not a physical day. You can have the real thing, or you can keep playing around with laws and be hanging on a tree and be damned. When the Lord your God shall cut off the nations before you where you go to possess them, thou succeedest them and dwell in their land. Take heed to yourself that you be not snared by following them after that they be destroyed before you, and that you inquire not after their God, saying, how did the nation serve their God? Even so will I do likewise. Now listen, you people are all smart. Some of you are a lot smarter than I am, but so what? Thank the Lord for you of sharp minds. You've got some sharp people here today, very sharp people. But unless the Lord reveals it to you, it don't matter how brilliant you are. Unless the Lord build the house. So you inquire and said, how shall I serve my God? Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to go to a source and look up Christmas and realize it preceded Christ's birth by 2,000 years. Hello? I had the TV on one night, and they had the Kremlin there with a big Christmas tree, and they're celebrating Christmas. And the biggest communist nation on the earth, one of the biggest, China's the biggest, second largest, I guess. But now there are Christians in Russia, so the president at that time could have been a Christian, and he thought maybe that's what is right. And then again, maybe it wasn't. Christmas has been celebrated by the heathens around the world for 4,000 years. And we come along, we're going to serve our God the same way. We're going to dress it up. They came through our neighborhood and put out luminaries. And we're kind of in the catch-20. We're between two neighborhoods, so it's a funny situation. But anyway, the 9th of December, they set out luminaries. We look out, Mike's down there. I said, Mike, put your lights out just for you. The whole neighborhood's lit up, these luminaries, in white bags with a candle in sand, and it's down in front of my house. Wasn't on my property. They put it out on the legal right-of-way, and okay, so no big deal. I didn't care. Didn't bother me. I knew where I stood. So then our neighborhood, another subdivision, they delivered the luminaries with the instructions to our door, and we come home, and there they sit. So we give it to our neighbors. So we don't do that. They attend our studies. They do that, and that's all right. If they want to serve, it's okay, but we don't do it. There's two vacant lots down there. If y'all want to, you can put it in front of those. So we looked out, and there's your mother and daddy and their two children and husband and her. They put in luminaries out. They ran them in front of our house. Listen, folks, they dishonored the Lord and his Christ. I promise you they did. They dishonored the Lord and his Christ. Ended up turning against me because I wouldn't keep Christmas, and I shot a deer. And they were mad because I killed a deer but didn't believe in killing my enemies. Love your enemies. do good to those that deceitfully and wickedly use you. The Lord said, if my kingdom was this world, then would we kick butt big time. But he said, I could call a 10 legion of angels down. I could take care of them, Peter. You don't have to cut his ears off. He that live by the sword shall die by the sword. But she was mad because I said that you weren't to kill. Have nothing to do with me now. Breaks my heart. A neighbor that wrote me every day, almost sometime three times a day, saying, I love you. That's your little children that I love with my whole heart, soul, and being that I don't get to see now. How that plays out, but today I spoke it, was speaking some more things. Those that sit at your table will and eat your food will turn against you. She walked out and didn't eat with us that day. She didn't realize she had already eaten with us. When the Lord talks of eating at his table and said, if it had been a stranger, said, I would have understood, but it's one that I love and respect that you have turned against me. But you're eating at the Lord's table right now. We're going to go out there and eat at some Gentile table maybe in a little bit. We're going to go out there and eat some physical food. But you're feasting at the Lord's table right now. So she had nothing to do with me now. Pray that that will change. Sophia and James McVickers and Sonia. The child is Sophie and Abigail, precious. Listen, the Lord said, you shall not do so unto the Lord your God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates have they done unto their gods, for even their sons and daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. What thing soever I command you do and observe to do, you shall not add thereto nor diminish from it. What part of that do you not understand? The Lord says it's an abomination to serve him as you serve the pagan gods before you went into the land. So don't do it unto the Lord your God. So if you keep in Christmas, you're doing an abomination unto the Lord your God. Of course, if you commit in whoredom, so are you. So that's one thing I wanted to address, and you can apply it to all the other things in your life. Judgment must begin at the house of God. That's what we're doing now. Yeah, I'm judging you. I'm telling you, if you do that, the Lord's going to hold you accountable for it. Totally. So what do? You warn a brother because you love them. That's your job, to feed the body of Christ. But in feeding the body of Christ, it's correcting. I corrected you all before. None of you dishonored me. You're sitting there, and it's a blessing. You sitting there and honoring the Lord and his Christ. You are his Christ. I hope you understand that. If you don't, I think Mike will be covering that. The Lord and his Christ. 1 Peter 4:7, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. For if it begin with us, what shall be the end of those that obey not the gospel of our God? Brethren, ask the Lord to help you to obey him. Ask him to help you obey him. You need a lot of help. You cannot do it on your own. I love this scripture, 2 John 1:1. For the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also they that have known the truth. You are the elect lady of Jesus Christ. You are the bride of Christ. He's your husband. The example of how a husband is to treat his wife is an example of how you are to treat your husband, which is Jesus Christ. Men, you have a husband. It's Jesus Christ. Of course, wives, he's also your husband. And how you treat your wife or your husband is how you treat in Jesus Christ. You need to remember that. Demonstration of Jesus' love. I love this. John 11:1. Now there's a lot of circumstance at this time where Jesus Christ, if he was to go, these people were seeking to kill him, the Billy Grahams and Pope John and Pope Papias and whatever else. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and the mother Martha. And I'm not going to read all this, but Jesus Christ went. He wasn't worried about what they were doing to him. He went to show his power and the glory of God, and went there. And when he came up, Mary and him was weeping, and he was very sorrowful when he saw how they were doing. He had compassion for them. Jesus loved them. And when he got there and said, Lazarus is dead, and then sharing his grief with them, Jesus Christ wept. So if y'all could criticize me for crying up here sometimes, and I do it in Bible study sometimes, and my wife fussed at me, so you ought not do that. So thank you, love, and I work on it. I do it less, and I've done pretty good today. But I have a love and compassion, but it's Jesus Christ love. He says it's tenderhearted, a pure heart. Am I bragging on myself? I'm bragging on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is tenderhearted, and he wept. So if you're so hard-hearted you can't share the burdens with your brothers, you got a problem. And Jesus Christ can solve that problem. 1 Thessalonians 5:13, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Warn them. So I warned you, and that's your job, to warn a brother. I mean, if a brother's physically, if he's getting ready to step off of the top of a 20-story building, you're going to grab him, say, hey, come here a minute, can I tell you something? You may holler at him and then jump off of it. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded. Oh, Lord, y'all help this feeble-minded man. Support the weak and be patient towards all. He says warn them, but it says to comfort them. Romans 15:1, then we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves, be doing it for them. Some of us, hey, I'm an old man now, so I feel at liberty to correct some of you. And I wouldn't do it if I didn't love you. And if I do, then the Lord will get me. Believe me, you don't go guiltless. If you do something to hurt a brother, the Lord won't let you get by with it. Feed my sheep, that's our job. John 12:16, he said to him again the second time. In fact, he told Peter three times, Peter, your job when you're converted is to go feed my sheep. Our job is to feed the body of Christ. There's a body with many members, but you're all part of the body. Brethren, claim you're standing in Jesus Christ. As he is, so are you. Know you not that you are Christ, Christos, anointed. That's what it means. You are his Christ. Now listen, let me tell you. 1978, we were disfellowshipped from the Worldwide Church of God, and we've held Bible studies off and on, off and on, off and on ever since then. More off than on. And we would make pack among ourselves, some of the Worldwide Church of God members. We were going to have Bible studies every week, regardless. Didn't work. There's always some kind of excuses why you can't do that, and we would use all of them. But finally, when I think I speak for myself, when I became converted, our Bible studies has been faithful to the Lord, except this weekend. Well, it is here, so our group, as you folks, are. We're not there, but we are faithful to the Lord, and our Bible studies are every week. Why aren't you having Bible studies? Now, there's two of you close together, and you're going to get together. Andrew Cox, your brother's here, and I told him that y'all would get together. Who was it was close to Andrew? I forget which one. Right there. You two are an hour apart. Fanny and Bobby Jack drive 30-something miles every week from Mississippi. Donna, 40, 50 miles from, I think, Stockton. And Rosemary and them, when they come, drive about 75 miles. Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be there. Don't worry about who's going to teach you. You can have a dialogue. You can meet together and discuss. That's what Paul was doing when the young man fell out of the upper loft. He wasn't preaching that to midnight until some of them fell asleep and fell out of the loft. They were having a dialogue. Some young man went to sleep and fell out of the loft and killed him. Paul resurrected. But they were having a dialogue. They were meeting and having fellowship. So start a Bible study. Start a Bible study in your area. Betty and I were, one week in particular, we were, of all things, 10 o'clock came and no one was there. So I picked up the Bible and headed in the living room. She said, where are you going? I said, we're having a Bible study. There's two of us. So before we could get their chairs to sit down, they started coming in from everywhere. That weekend, everybody was late, accidentally. And we went on to have our study and they came in. So wherever two or three are gathered together, start your Bible studies, do it. If it's just you and your wife, my wife and I try every morning. I miss some mornings and I've got to work on that. We have a Bible study at the table and you need to do it. So do it. And I'm trying to cut through this. I'm about to run out of time here and I realize that. So do your Bible study and comfort one another. So, let me see, the scripture here said they were comforted one with another. So I'm going to skip on down the Bible, the bottom, the Bible. Comfort for you concerning your faith. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 2, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and comfort you concerning your faith. That's what we're to be doing regularly. Wherefore, comfort yourself together and edify one another, even as also you do. Comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. We can keep in touch, brethren, by email, by phone calls, writing, but to me, email, and if you don't have email, write or call, but start establishing, pick one or two, if nothing else, to encourage every day. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm telling you a fact. I sent out 200 and 300 emails a day. I sent out some stupid emails. Some of you send me some stupid emails. Thank you for them. It tells me you're thinking about them. I can delete them, but I don't delete you. I remember that you sent it. So begin sharing with each other through email. Stay in contact. Be uplifting and feeding the body of Jesus Christ every day. I wanted to read a bunch of these, but these are a bunch of emails from my brothers and sisters that email me encouraging things that are just absolutely incredible. One, Jason Martin. Hi, Willard. Oh, I would love to be with you for this Bible study, and Lord willing, I will soon be able to. Thank you for thinking of me. Please say hello to everyone from me. Pray that the Lord makes a way for us to be together again. Love you, Jason. Little simple notes to each other. You may send a note and uplift a person's day. You will do it. So let's begin doing that. I love you, my brothers. Let's be at peace with one another and begin feeding the body of Jesus Christ. God bless you.